the Nerd Watch podcast. I, of course, am G Money. I am joined by the one and only Professor Barry. Also in studio is Format. And today we are missing one of the tiniest members of the Nerd Watch Nation, and that happens to be Amber. She is out.
Oh, she's not here?
Well, apparently she's in a Despicable Me 2 coma.
Oh.
That she will not be getting out of for the next week. So unfortunately for her, she is strapped to a chair. Her eyes are taped open while Despicable Me 2 plays on the screen.
Ta-da!
Yeah, all day long. Isn't that amazing? Well, boys and girls, we've come along another week here. Amazing show last week. I got a lot of compliments on the show last week. People enjoyed our conversation about Exodus. They loved that. They loved the show. They thought it was really fun. I'm glad we're back doing what we do here. A lot of new stuff coming up here on the show today that we're going to talk about. But first, let's find out how everybody's been doing for the week. Format, how you been, sir?
Doing good.
Good?
Doing good, yes.
Good? Been doing a little writing or anything happening?
A lot of writing and a lot of reading.
A lot of writing and a lot of reading.
Yes, sir.
Cool. All right. Reading. And what have you read?
Ready Player One by Ernest Cline.
Ernest Cline. We were talking about it on the way up here. Ernest Cline happens to be the man who wrote the screenplay and the story for Fanboys, which is a fantastically fun
movie.
I think that's a very underappreciated gem. I really think that's a great, great movie. And I really hope people find it or seek it out if you have not seen it. It stars the guy who was hot about maybe 3 years ago. He ended up being – remember that show Man Up on ABC? He was on that thing. Now his name escapes me.
Dan Fogler?
Dan, thank you. Dan Fogler. He was in Balls of Fury. Balls of Fury. That's another – I think that was another ridiculous, stupid movie, but it was super fun. Super fun. But anyway, yeah, Fanboys, if you've never seen it and you're a Star Trek and or Star Wars fan, you must watch this movie. It is a lot of fun. But Ernest Cline is also a very famous author as well. Ready Player One has been out for quite some time. It's been described to me, because I have not read it yet, it's been described to me as a cross between Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and what was the other thing?
The Matrix.
The Matrix. Yes. That's it.
Wow.
That's what it was. So you were telling me on the way up here that you went through that book in 2 days.
Yep, I killed it in 2 days. It really is well written. I told myself going into it that I was only going to read a couple chapters a day, you know, right before going to bed. Needless to say, the way the chapters end, you just want more and more of the story.
Right.
Like, you just want to keep digging into it. If you are a fan, or grew up, rather, in the 80s, you would love this book.
Right. They say there's so many pop culture references. There's so many
things
in there.
There is so much. Within, I think, the first half of the first chapter, like the first few paragraphs, there's already a reference to Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, coin-operated arcade machines. Just oh my goodness. There's like references to 80s music, just to 80s style in general. It's just really, really well done.
Wow. All right. I'm going to have to put that on my Kindle list for sure. So it is called Ready Player One by
Correct.
Ernest Cline. I'll check that out. All right, Professor Barry, what about you, sir? How have you been for the week? What you been up to?
Good.
I know you're eating dinner. We're in an undisclosed location in their conference room at this point here.
Rhymes with hasty lust.
Hasty lust. I love it.
Well, they'll never know where it is.
That is the name of the show.
Hasty Lust.
That's it.
Sounds like a very different show.
It does, but it totally
it's
works.
It's even more awkward because Amber's not here.
It does. It becomes a little more awkward.
Three guys in the conference room. Hasty Lust.
That's awesome. Anyway, so I love it. So, Professor Barry, what have you been up to this week, sir?
I had an article published in Hollywood and Toto, which is this wonderful site about Bates Motel. It was a real labor of love to write the article. It's basically about how, really, why a lot of movie to TV transitions don't work. So I kind of went down with the formula, looked at a lot of examples. There's so many examples.
Sure.
And just kind of talked about why there's no overlap, why they tend to get it like wrong off the bat, and why Bates Motel is not only getting it right, but why I feel like Bates Motel really is the next Twin Peaks in terms of what it's doing thematically. And also just in terms of like creating that kind of that doomed feel that Breaking Bad had, where we love these characters, they are doomed, and we feel hopeless to save them.
Right.
So anyway, I was thrilled that it got published. It was it's one of the longer articles I've written. I did a lot of research, and I wanted to make sure I had all my facts checked, and I couldn't believe how many movies have been turned into TV shows. I mean,
isn't it ridiculous?
Amazing. Like, I mean, I remember Blue Thunder. I remember Baby Talk. Luke was talking the show being on, but like, I forgot about Uncle Buck. I forgot about Stir Crazy.
Uncle Buck was horrible. Stir Crazy was awful.
Yeah, and
I remember that.
And I love the theme to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the TV show, because it was done by Oingo Boingo. But I watched a little bit on YouTube. It's dreadful, absolutely dreadful. Absolutely. As you can imagine, a G-rated Fast Times would be.
Well, you know, ironically enough, Terminator was turned into a television show. That's another one. That wasn't too bad. Unfortunately, at the time it came out, there wasn't enough of a demand to see Terminator. It wasn't the Sarah Connor Chronicles, as it were.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, there has been a MASH, for crying out loud.
MASH worked. Buffy worked.
Buffy worked. I hated. Can I tell you? I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna divulge a little secret here. I hate the MASH television show. Hate it. I love the Robert Altman movie. Love it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I think that goes in my top 10 list. MASH is an amazing piece of cinema that I think everybody should see. Elliot Gould, Donald Sutherland is in this bad boy. Sally Kellerman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sally Kellerman is in it. It's an amazing movie. It is nothing like the TV show. And the best thing about it, Alan Alda's not in it. So that's a plus, at least for me. But I'm very interested to read that. Where can people read that? Hollywood in Toto, is that correct, sir?
Hollywood in Toto, or on our Nerdwatch feed.
Oh, it's on our Nerdwatch feed on the facebook.com/Nerdwatch. Fantastic. Sweet. So you wrote that article because you have such an affinity for Bates Motel, is that right?
It was, yeah. Christian Toto, the wonderful the overlord of the site. I'll just use the word overlord.
Right.
He
That's good.
Oh, yeah. He knows that I'm a big fan of Bates Motel, and he's like, would you consider writing something about it? Because it's got a lot of mixed reviews, and he knew how much I love Psycho. You know, Psycho's my favorite movie, so it means a lot to me that they managed to get it right on television, because, as I'm sure you know, and any child of the 80s knows, there was a Bates Motel TV movie with Bud Cort and Jason Bateman that did not work, and it was awful.
It was awful.
So I was definitely filled with apprehension learning that they were doing another shot at Bates Motel Psycho, the series, but they got it right this time.
Well, ironically enough, I mean, the Psycho movie is a great Alfred Hitchcock movie. I'm a fan of... I like a lot of his movies, North by Northwest and things like that, but the ones I really relate to are Psycho. I also relate to Vertigo, which is one of my favorites, and that is one that a lot of people don't get. I like Vertigo a lot. And then the last, of course, is Psycho, Vertigo, and Rear Window with Jimmy Stewart.
So you relate to the ones about psychological disorders.
Yes. I love the way Rear Window is shot.
Yeah.
You know? Raymond Burr plays the heavy. That's crazy. It's like, what the heck's going on? I know some of you Nerdwatch guys, you really have to be nerdy to know who Raymond Burr is. He's the American guy that ruined the American version of Godzilla. You know, that's the guy.
It was Perry Mason,
true. That's very true, too. So when we're looking at television shows as opposed to the movies that they're part of, I think Bates Motel is an exception to the rule. Wouldn't you even put Hannibal in that category
as well?
I really
would. That was another comparison I made, because it feels like there's an overlap between the movie and the television show in terms of the world. It feels like it exists in the same universe as all those films. And that's one of the things I love about Bates Motel. It's a modernization, but it seems like it's working. They're using text messages and cell phones, and yet it's not distracting. It feels like this is what it plausibly would be like if the events of Psycho took place in the 21st century.
Right,
yeah, it works.
Took place 40 years later.
Yeah.
Well, ironically enough, you know, speaking of Twin Peaks, I think the world is begging for another Twin Peaks-style mystery thriller, psychologically bending show. And ironically enough, there is a show on Fox that's coming out called Wayward Pines. So if anybody's interested, they should take a look. Google Wayward Pines. It is Fox's answer to Twin Peaks. It nice. Is directly a and it's a direct homage, but with a different story, obviously. But it's a direct homage of it. It's strange. It's a little weird. It has that feel of you like these characters, but yet everybody's quirky and kooky. So I'm really looking forward to it. Matt Dillon is in it.
Nice.
Yeah. Is it Matt or is it his brother?
Or Kevin?
No, it's Matt. Okay, good. No, it's Kevin. Kevin is he's got the Jufro in the Blob, right?
That's one way to put it.
Okay. Yes. 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 Huh. Well, that's what it is, right? No. Anyway,
was it that? I don't remember being that. I remember being more of like an '80s mullet, like the Swayze.
Right, but it was
Swayze.
But it was Froey, wasn't it? Not
well when he was on a motorcycle out running the Blob. Yeah, because all that, because all the wind, you know,
with Shawnee Smith on his on the back of his hog.
Yeah, that'll make anybody's hair go. You know,
you're absolutely right. By the way, that's a great movie. By the way, if
yes,
no one's
is.
Ever seen it, Russell Mulcahy directed that. Now, are you a fan of format? Oh, Chuck Russell. Yes, thank you. Excuse me, not Russell Mulcahy. Chuck Russell. You're right. Are you a fan of television shows that kind of stretch reality like Twin Peaks, maybe something like Hannibal or Bates Motel? Do you find yourself in that space? Do you like those kind of TV shows? Or
I wouldn't say like I like them. Like I can watch them, you know, and I get it. Like I'm not lost or anything when the, you know, there's some weird
good
twist to it.
Lost. Nice. You just made one.
But yeah, like I don't go out of my way to watch it.
Mm.
There's just so many things that
pique your interest more.
Right.
Gotcha. Were you guys Peaks freaks when it was on? Because I used to watch Twin Peaks with a log. I mean, I was an intense Twin Peaks fan.
I was intense. My family was intense the very first season. We watched that sucker. We loved it. And then we were so into it that we started the second season. And then about five episodes in, we went, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
I said, and then we got kind of turned off by it, what the direction David Lynch was taking.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, it was intentional, from my understanding. So I'm really looking forward to reading your piece.
Thank you.
I'm also looking forward to catching up with Bates Motel, because if Bates Motel is crafting that kind of world like Twin Peaks, I'm in. I am totally in. So, because I have not caught up with that. I've got so many other things on my plate, as it were. So I have Bates Motel on the docket. So Bates Motel will be one that I watch as well. You still got to watch Hannibal the second season.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you still got that on your plate.
I gotta catch up before the show comes
back. The show comes back in June, baby.
Nope.
Anyway, that's Leonard Nimoy hailing me from the Starship Enterprise. Spock, excuse me. But anyway, now it's on Vibrate. So, Professor Barry, what have you seen this week? You are the professor of movies. What was the film that got you out of the house and into the theater this week?
Well, unfortunately, it was the Divergent series, Insurgent, the new film in the
Correct.
Series. And I really liked the first one. I thought it worked. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought the visuals were really striking. I thought it was a little too obviously a tailor-made star vehicle for Shailene Woodley, in the sense that I feel like, for one thing, she doesn't need a movie like that. I think she's a fine enough actress. She doesn't need like this big action movie to carry her career.
She was going to be Mary Jane Mary Jane. She was going to be Mary Jane in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And they completely cut her out of the movie.
That's right.
She shot shots for it, everything. So, you know, that I thought that was going to be her big starring, I don't mean it this way, but that was going to be her coming out party, as it were, for Shailene Woodley. But Divergent, never saw it. Have you seen Divergent?
No.
Now, I was kind of turned off because I wasn't a fan of The Hunger Games. Same reason why I stayed away from Maze Runner, which I'm going to watch now because you recommended
it. It's different enough that I think you'll like Maze Runner, but Divergent is like The Hunger Games. It's so much like it.
Okay, so now Divergent, if I'm coming into it, is it something where I have to see Divergent before Insurgent?
Yes. I would be completely lost if I just went and saw Insurgent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is it about Insurgent that doesn't stack up to Divergent?
It's not suspenseful. There's no tension. Excuse me. It's rather dull at times. None of the performances are very good, even by Shailene Woodley.
Really?
The movie is so, it's so enhanced by CGI. The action sequences just don't have any kind of plausibility. Everybody's flying through the air in slow motion. It's not a terribly compelling movie. When it gets to the fantasy sequences, the key to the original film is the same here. There's all these sequences in which characters go into a dream state, and they basically go through these challenges and these gauntlets that they have to overcome while they're unconscious. Those are really striking scenes. They're visually cool. But other than that, the movie itself around it isn't very persuasive. It's really depressing watching Kate Winslet and Naomi Watts give two bad performances. These are two magnificent actresses, I think.
Yeah.
And they're both atypically lousy in this film. And I don't know.
Really?
I don't know if it was just the material or how they were directed. Shailene Woodley is not a convincing action hero. She has this Tinkerbell cut throughout the movie.
I've seen that. I've seen the preview of that haircut. It's horrible.
Well, you know, I guess they're trying to do like the, the Felicity thing where, you know, she's got a new do. It's a big dramatic reveal at the beginning of the film. She's got her long hair. Then she goes into the bathroom and she shaves it off and she walks out, you know, with this pixie cut. And that's one of the more dramatic scenes in the movie. It's just, there's really little to this movie that's very memorable. It's not like The Maze Runner, where I was on the edge of my seat, or even the second Hunger Games, which I thought was very good. Mm. This movie is just, it's very forgettable. And when it was over, I certainly wasn't going, oh my gosh, what is going to happen next? And I really don't care, you know, because I've heard people say like, well, you know, you didn't read the book, you don't appreciate it, you're not the audience for it. Listen, if I pay him for my ticket, I am an audience member for whatever this movie offers. And this film is just, it's not very good. It's not one of the better young adult films out right now. I'd say it's up there with Aragon and it's up there with The Host. It's just, it's neither here nor there.
Aragon was terrible.
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was horrible. Now, when we're looking at Insurgent, apparently this has done enough money to make another one.
Right.
Does this film fall under a clone of the Hunger Games? Is this a Hunger Games clone? Is this where Hunger Games comes out in the fall or the spring, and then Divergent comes out opposite it in the fall or the spring? Is this what this is?
Yeah, I'd say so. And the problem is that it doesn't, oddly enough, even though The Hunger Games is, you know, a whitewashed battle royale.
Absolutely.
This is whitewashed Hunger Games. So it's
a whitewash of a whitewash.
Exactly. So it's
just a lot of white.
It is. And it just does not have the tension. It doesn't have the immediacy. Shailene Woodley is a lovely actress, and she was amazing in The Spectacular Now. She cannot carry this movie the way Jennifer Lawrence can carry The Hunger Games movies. So there's kind of no center at the... rather, there's nobody holding the center of this movie. It's a bunch of random action sequences which are not terribly exciting. It's the same dystopic future world that we've seen before. It's you know, this whole thing of you know, what a political uprising looks like in a fantasy world, which is, I always find interesting that I keep seeing movies about that, whether it's V for Vendetta or The Hunger Games, these movies about a fictitious political uprising.
But ironically enough, the people in Hollywood are the exact opposite of what some of these movies portray, which is totally weird to me.
Sure.
But I will say this. Is it because Shailene Woodley is not someone who can hold the screen? Is that what we're saying about her? Is she a second fiddle, as it were?
I think she needs better material, for one thing.
Okay.
And this is just not a good fit for her. This is kind of like when Keira Knightley did Domino.
Oh!
Do you remember that?
Yes. Oh,
wow. Not a bad film.
Not a bad film at all.
But, you know, Keira Knightley, I don't think she was the right person for that role, and I can't say that I think of her as a very persuasive action hero, and I feel the same way about Shailene Woodley. Clearly, they're giving her wire food, they're giving her, you know, guns with CGI bullets coming out in slow motion. I mean, they're doing all that. They're working really hard to make her like
Is it directed by John Woo?
It is not. I'm trying to remember who the director was. But, it's just...
There were no doves.
A serious lack of doves.
A serious lack.
But yeah, it's just not a really compelling movie.
All right, so on your scale of 1 to 5 dystopian futures, how many dystopian futures does this get?
Oh, gosh. I'll 1.5.
Wow, that's big.
It's not even good enough to rate 2 stars. This is a movie I forgot about the minute I walked out of the theater.
All I keep hearing is that the other thing I keep hearing about Shailene Woodley is her co-star. Every girl that goes in, she goes, they're not here to see it for Shailene Woodley. They're here to see it for the guy with the lips.
His name is Theo James, and he was very, very charismatic in the first one. The second one, he's there as the boyfriend with the gun. It's just the role has not progressed in an interesting way. If there's going to be a third movie, in fact, it, not only is there a third movie, but it's called Allegiant, and it's going to be broken up into two movies, of course.
Wow, of course.
Imagine that. How novel.
Of course.
I hope they do something interesting, because this middle movie was... It's a bad bridge, is what it is.
Well, more importantly, is Theo James kissable when you look at him on screen in this film?
No.
Okay. Good. No. Good, good.
No.
I would have worried if he had said yes.
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he really isn't. No, I mean, like he does not have that kind of magnetism. Like, what was it I saw recently? I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, The Prince and Cinderella.
Oh.
Good-looking dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Good-looking dude. Wow.
So he kiss him.
But
not the guy from
Divergent. No, no, but... The answer is just a solid no.
Right. Okay, good. Gotcha. I would stay on that track.
I'm trying to think of a scenario, but I was like, you know what? Let's move on.
Yeah, let's just.
I'm wondering.
I was asking for the ladies.
Right. What's her name? Shailene?
Shailene Woodley, yeah.
Okay. I'm curious. Is she a better actress in the first movie?
Because you said you liked the first movie. Good question.
Yeah.
I did. She wasn't bad in it, but it felt like they were really working hard to give her this big dramatic showcase. It just felt kind of like one of these insert an actress here roles. It kind of reminded me of like when Bridget Fonda took over in the remake of Point of No Return.
Ooh,
it felt like they took an actress who really had never done that sort of movie before. Right, they just kind of put her in a movie where it's like, okay, let's make her a sexy shoot 'em up action hero. And yeah, it's that kind of thing. Where
she took over for Anne Perrault.
I think it's Anne Perrault. I think
Perrault. I think you're right. So, yeah. From La Femme Nikita, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting, just insert sexy actress here.
Yeah, because I think Shailene Woodley's got it. I thought she was wonderful in the Descendants. And she did a movie with her Divergent and Insurgent co-star Miles Teller called The Spectacular Now.
Yes.
They're both amazing in that movie. I love that movie. They should have better things that their agent is offering them than Insurgent and Divergent and Detergent and whatever.
Wow. Or the next big hit.
Or Allegiant, Part 1 and 2.
Right. Yeah. Or Hasty Lust, for that matter. Can't wait to see that with Shailene Woodley and Miles Teller.
Don't they always end up in something like that?
It sounds like it would be like the sequel.
Don't they?
Like the sequel to Booty Call.
Right.
Hasty Lust.
Right?
Oh, my God.
That's what follows the colon.
Yeah, it does. It does follow the colon. All right. Moving on to some interesting... Since we've been talking a lot about television already this evening... Let's talk about this. Some interesting news has come across our desk when we're talking about a couple of movie things and some TV. But since we're on the TV track, there has been some new developments that were brought to us by Variety. The Variety is the Hollywood Insider magazine, as
it's my other Bible.
That's yes, exactly. Variety has confirmed that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to see David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson reprise their roles as Agent Mulder and Scully in a limited series of The X-Files. How exciting is that for anybody?
Fantastic.
I am. That is without it. It's so weird to me that my favorite shows of all time have the sci-fi bent to them. The Twilight Zone, my favorite show of all time. The Outer Limits. X-Files was the show that revived my love for sci-fi in the 90s. I guess what I'm getting at here is, for you, Format, are you a sci-fi guy? Do you have an affinity for the X-Files? Does this float your proverbial boat?
I think it's cool, but yeah, I could take it or leave it.
You could take it or leave it?
Yeah.
I'm extremely
excited.
Like
when the original X-Files was out, if it was on, we'll watch it, but... You know, there's only a few episodes that really stand out to me, and they really stood out for probably reasons that they shouldn't have.
Ooh, interesting.
Like
okay.
That one where the dude builds a nest out of spit.
Yeah,
for some reason that stuck with me.
Yeah, that's
I was
close.
Like, huh, okay.
That's awesome.
So whenever I think of X-Files, I think of that episode.
Oh, I love I have to tell you that I...
I know Professor Barry's like just ate. So now he's got to think about
it. I'm done now. Thank God. Yeah, you're done now. I really like The X-Files because when it came along, there was nothing on television like it because it felt like every week you weren't watching a TV show. It was like you were watching a mini movie every single week for me. And I love,
how did you feel when the actual movie came
out. I love the very first movie. I thought the first movie was great. Huh. I really enjoyed it. I thought that you'd have to be a fan in order to enjoy that movie, even though they said you didn't have to be. That was a complete and utter lie. That was a lie. The second movie was underwhelming, to say the least. Unfortunately, they were building a very interesting story, but the payoff wasn't very good. So it was underwhelming at best, and I thought the performances were eh. But I am a huge fan of the X-Files. I think there is so much... For me, there's so much more material that can be taken out from them. There has just been nothing on television like it ever. And it's coming back in a 6-episode run.
Wonderful.
So it's, you know, they're halving a 13-episode normal season for a cable show. They're halving that. And I think that may work in its favor.
Sure.
You know, so instead of people screaming for an X-Files movie, they're going to take the time to do a 6-episode movie. Which I think is very cool. Are you a fan, Professor Barry?
Huge fan. I was in college when I first discovered the X-Files. I was a little late, so I was one of these guys who saw an episode, got hooked in. The episode, by the way, was the Stephen King episode, The Doll. Remember that one?
Oh, yes.
Great. That was the episode because I heard Stephen King, really? He wrote for TV. Saw the episode. I was knocked over by it, and I went back and watched all the previous episodes building up to the movie. I freaking love Fight the Future. I thought it was one of the best films of 98.
Yep.
But I agree with you. Even looking at it now, it's like... No one's going to know who these people are if they haven't watched this show.
Right.
So it's it is kind of an insider film, but I really think it's one of the best sci-fi films of the 90s.
I love agree
that
more.
Film so much. And Martin Landau is awesome in it. The second movie I liked a lot more than you, but it's lacking for one thing. It was very weird that they released it in summer because it's a horror film.
It is.
It's a horror film. They released it like the second week after The Dark Knight, which was so stupid.
Right.
That film had no chance at all.
I think what I didn't like about it, and maybe you can correct me, I thought that the aspect of horror itself and the aspect of that mystery of what you watch X-Files for was by the end was taken out because it was brought straight back to reality.
Hmm.
And you know what I mean? Because when you find out what is going on in the second film, you're kind of like, oh, okay. Well, I guess this could really happen then. And I was like, oh, well, it doesn't really... I didn't think it fueled the mythology at all, if any. It felt like... I don't know. I just felt disappointed a bit. Because I was a huge fan of X-Files because a lot of people criticize X-Files for being the Monster of the Week show.
Yeah.
I love Monster of the Week shows.
Me too. Tombs was the best.
Tombs was the best. I love Monsters of the Week. I like Villains of the Week. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an overarching storyline. That's fine. But having a Monster of the Week is so much fun to tune into every week. So everybody who sits there and poo-poos the Monster of the Week... format, I think, is missing the boat here. Like you said, Tombs is amazing.
Yeah.
There have been other... The one with X-Files Home.
That's an... Oh, that episode is horrifying.
That is horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. It is one of the best X-Files episodes ever.
It's very powerful.
It is a very powerful piece of filmmaking. I say filmmaking, and I intentionally said that
because it
certainly was.
I agree with you.
So it is very good. So I guess what I'm saying is, as fans, because I am a fan, do you think that we are we ready for another X-Files?
Oh, yeah, I think so, because as much as I really did like I Want to Believe, let's face it, it did feel like it lacked an ending. It mm-hmm. lacked a conclusion. Because that's the thing about Fight the Future. I mean, for me, it felt like a complete film. That's what I loved about it.
Yes,
I mean,
it did.
It may be an insider film. It may be a secret handshake for the X-Files fans. But for what it was, I thought it was one of the best TV to movie transitions I've seen. I Want to Believe was not that way. And this is smart because this is the difference between 20th Century Fox putting together, let's say, $40 to $60 million to create an X-Files movie, which may or may not open big, may or may not catch on, might be I Want to Believe all over again, or presenting it in a format where we can discover it gradually on our own. I'm sure it'll be the most binge-watched TV show of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the right approach for this, and because we really do want to spend some more time with these guys, especially if it's the last time. 6 episodes sounds great to me.
Yeah, I have to agree, because there is something about those two characters that really worked and still do that you really want to know where they are now.
Yeah,
you know, because in the movie, of course, the second film, they are together.
Yes.
I'm either way, together or not, them as partners is what makes it for me. I don't care if they're in love or out of love or whatever. I think their love for each other as partners is what makes them so great. And I love the fact that Mulder is such a diehard. This is real. And she's on the other end of the spectrum. She's like, you're out of your mind. What are you talking about? And he has to pull her in to believe.
Yeah.
And I really think that that worked for me. And I think that that's what that those opposing opposites trying to work together, even though one believes one is ridiculous and one believe can't believe that what she's seeing before her eyes could not be what he says it is.
Absolutely.
So I really think that the 6 episodes could be perfect. And you could, instead of worrying about getting another movie, let's get a movie that's a series. 6 episodes. That's 45 minutes an episode? Yeah. Done deal. We get a longer movie.
Right.
We don't have to stand in line, and we could, like you said, we could binge watch it on Hulu or whatever. We're good to go.
Are there details?
Not yet. Did you
top,
really?
Like, top is secret. Is it Mulder and Scully like now?
Or yes.
Is it,
yeah. Yes.
Oh, so this is after like after, a lot of stuff.
Yes. Right? Well, I'm because
so
I'm,
would their relationship play off as well? Because isn't she at a point where she pretty much believes?
Well, here's the thing.
At the end of the second film, she's a believer.
She yeah, is a believer sure. at the end.
Right.
Very
so
right.
So how?
Well, here's the thing: is that what I here's what I'm guessing, and mm-hmm. and I'm only assuming that
because I don't want to watch the first episode and Mulder's like, this is what happened, and then Scully's like, yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah. And then it's like, okay, credits. I was like, all right.
Oh, that was a fun 5 minutes.
Well, here's another reason I love the 6 episode format idea because. You really nailed it because this show, the strength of it was that it wasn't just a movie of the week, it was a different movie of the week. To completely nerd out for a second, hopefully the X-Files fans listening to this will appreciate this. I mean, remember the episode Jose Chung's from Outer Space?
I love that one.
Brilliant. That was like this, talk about different genres every week.
That's what Peter Boyle.
Exactly. And the show wasn't just about sci-fi, it wasn't just about horror, it wasn't just about comedy. I mean, like, it was almost as experimental as Moonlighting. They were just like messing with different genres, different approaches.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brilliant show.
And they both had Curtis Armstrong. Moonlighting and X-Files, did they not?
Well done, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Boom. That's it.
Way to 6 degrees.
I just broke the internet again. Anyway, I am very excited as a true X-Files fan. Thank you for geeking out, by the way. And just to let you know, one of the 3 X-Files fans that are out there are listening. So.
Yeah, so Paco, that one's for you.
Yeah.
We love you, Paco.
Oh, man. I'm very excited about X-Files. I cannot wait. And I'm glad that David Duchovny is on board. And Gillian Anderson's been... By the way, just to give you guys an idea of what Gillian Anderson's been up to, we all know that David Duchovny's been doing Californication.
Right.
Gillian Anderson has been quite busy. She was originally from England, and she's been doing a lot of television in England. She's doing an amazing or has done an amazing job on a show called The Fall. She plays a detective. It is an amazing show. It's on Netflix now. Stream it if you must. It is very good. It is compelling. She goes after serial killers. It is very good. Gillian Anderson is amazing in it. I recommend it wholeheartedly. This is what she's been very busy. Not only The Fall, she's been doing movies. She's been doing other projects.
She's in Hannibal, ironically
enough. She's in Hannibal. Yes, she is. So she's been quite busy, as it were. So Gillian Anderson, by the way, I still love her. She's gorgeous.
She's fantastic.
Oh, she's a wonderful actress, and she's beautiful. Absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
Do you remember the one she did with John Stewart, Playing by Heart?
Yes!
She was just delightful.
Yes, and that's the one with Sean Connery.
That's right.
Connery's in that with Gina Rollins, I think.
It's a crazy cast. Anthony Edwards is in it? Yeah.
Man, it's so weird that I would even know anybody that's in that movie, but I guess I do. That's
it's a good
weird.
Movie.
Yeah, all right. Playing by Heart. That was a 1998. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Man, weird. Total movie geeks. This is not good. Anyway, no, it is good. It's the Nerd Watch.
That's
what am I
why
talking
we're
about?
It's
That's why
good.
We're here, doggone it. All right, moving on to movie news. Let's get into it. There's a couple of movie rumors that I want to get to. Last week we talked about Ghostbusters. Unfortunately, I couldn't end the show. With the too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
Oh, that's fine, because that was the NerdWatch earworm of the week.
Good. I'm glad. But last
On our
week,
own by Bobby Brown.
Ghostbusters got a lot of play. People really enjoyed a conversation about the Ghostbusters. This week, there are 2 rumors swirling around that has to deal with another mega franchise, and that, of course, is Star Wars. First off, there's a huge rumor around the campfires at Disney that they are going to be bringing back J.J. Abrams for episode 9 of the trilogy. First of all, we know that he's handing the ball off to who'd they say it was?
Was it Rian Johnson?
No, he's not doing... He's doing the singular film.
Okay.
Well, the one we'll be talking about shortly. Gosh, doggone, I don't remember.
It's one of those hot up-and-comers.
It is a hot up-and-coming director. But they're thinking about bringing back J.J. Abrams for the third movie. My question is, now that we know a trilogy is going to be in existence, is it a good idea to take him off at all? Should we give him a break for number two? Shouldn't he be just doing all three of them at this point if we're going to get him back for 9?
Because Lucas didn't do Empire.
Well, let's be honest. Lucas basically did every movie. He was, he may have had somebody else direct, like Irvin Kershner, and he had
Richard Marquand
for Jedi. Right. But let's be honest, he was the mastermind.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he micromanaged the hell out of this guy.
George Lucas, a micromanager to the core. Steven Spielberg loves George Lucas, loves him, but he says that it's not the easiest thing in the world to talk shop and deal with George Lucas on a movie set. He's very much, he knows his vision. This is the way he wants it. And if he doesn't get it that way, then he ain't doing it. So, and I mean, you have to admire that kind of, I guess you would call it...
Dictatorship.
Dictatorship. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So my question is there something that is preventing Disney from just keeping him on and just doing all three? Because that would have been the trifecta for Abrams. That would have been it. Right, he is doing episode 8. It is Rian Johnson. So you're all right, sir. So Rian Johnson is doing episode 8.
Okay.
So then we got to find out who's doing the Rogue One, which we're going to be talking about here in a minute, because that's the first standalone movie. We got to find that out. Thanks, Foreman. Yeah. He's like the information guy. Nerdwatch information guy. So all I'm asking you two is that should he even be off a project?
Is this similar to when Tim Burton said, look, I'll do Batman Returns, but I need to do Edward Scissorhands. I need to just kind of clear the palette. I need just some time off from this franchise. Do you think it's something like that?
You could be right, because I'm thinking...
Because he's off a Trek, right?
Yeah,
he's not doing the next Trek.
He's not doing the next Trek, but that's the thing. He did Trek back to back.
Yep.
So maybe he doesn't want to do that experience again. I never thought about that. Maybe you're right. But I thought that his love for Star Wars
was so intense.
Is intense. Yeah. It's intense. Yep. He put R2-D2 in the Star Trek movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what he did. That's how much he loves Star Wars. So my question is that he's obviously fashioning this world. He's directing it. I'm assuming there's a story on the table that he helped write with Lawrence Kasdan. I'm sure he collaborated with him. I'm just wondering why they would give him a break, and why not just give him the whole trilogy. But like you said, maybe it is to clear the palate. I guess you guys could be right about that. But that's my question. My question is that it's great to have him coming back for 9, but this is... It would be a coup to have him for all three episodes, wouldn't it? You know, maybe...
I guess so.
You know? I mean, Rian Johnson is an amazing director. Do I think Rian Johnson is good, or do I think he's good enough to direct a Star Wars movie? Yes. Do I think he's good enough to direct a Star Wars movie that...
After J.J. Abrams?
No, but Rian Johnson is a visionary. When you see things like Looper, or when you see movies like Brick, those are very... I have to say, they're not mainstream movies at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're very niche filmmaking. So this is going to be very different for Rian Johnson, at least for me. Maybe I'm wrong. But for Rian Johnson, this is a new thing for him. So he's not – when you look at his movies, they're not grand scale. Not even Looper for all of its supposed grandeur.
Maybe that's what we need. Maybe episode 8 isn't grand in scale.
Ooh, maybe you're right. That could be the point.
Maybe we're going to another Dagobah and we're going to spend half the movie there. Just saying.
That's true.
Another Ewok adventure.
That's true. Well,
no, they always save the cute and cuddlies for the last one.
That's true. Good point. Well, I'm just kind of wondering because, like I said, Rian Johnson, even for all of the wonder that was Looper, he was telling a very intimate story. It wasn't necessarily about the world that Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis inhabited. It was about those two characters and what was surrounding them.
Yeah.
So I have to say that I'm not leery about it. I just don't know if Rian Johnson is up for the task. You know what I mean? That's almost insulting to his directorial character that I say that.
He sure, way to go, Greg.
Yeah, I know.
Insulting Rian Johnson.
He's sure up
for it. You heard it here, folks. Greg hates Rian Johnson.
I'm sorry. But anyway, I digress. What say you guys? You say that it's possible because the second movie may not be of grand scale.
That's what I'm thinking.
Which is true. What about you?
Well, I think you bring up a really good question because it does seem like J.J. Abrams really is the power,
right.
You know, the brain trust of this whole thing.
He
so
is.
It is unusual. But I'm guessing that just because he's done so many different sort of things, it does make sense to me that he would be the one to get the ball rolling to establish what the look, the tone of the new Star Wars is, and then to pass the baton and then go back and end strong. Just because, I mean, over the years, I mean, this guy, you know, he was so instrumental to the making of Cloverfield.
Right.
You know, of course, he directed Super 8. Like, he strikes me as somebody who does like to juggle different films, not necessarily different genres, but different films. And I respect that because I think you can get burnt out. I mean, look at God bless him, but look at Peter Jackson. I mean, somebody's got to get him the heck out of the Shire.
Out of New Zealand.
Yeah, get the heck out of the Shire.
Somebody, please, pluck him out of Middle Earth immediately.
Yes, he did, you know, he got away with that second trilogy, but we got to stop him before he does another one.
Yes.
Because I'm sure it's coming.
I'm sure, and the thing is, he's wonderful, but I think
he's built a home in New Zealand, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he's, and no question, I mean, he has added so much to the New Zealand tourism over there. I mean,
yeah.
The guy is like, he's like Walt Disney over there, but at the same time, I do worry that he will end up like George Lucas in the sense that he's going to spend too much time in that world. And he needs to get out of it and remind us that there's so many different stories that he can tell and will tell.
You're absolutely right, and that's a good point because you do get maybe he believes that this is his Star Wars,
yeah.
Which it is. That's, you know, and you're right. He's gotten away with two trilogies, you know. So you're absolutely right. Maybe it's time that you make another Dead Alive. Or, by the way, if you've never seen Dead Alive, you should.
It's wonderful.
It's a wonderfully kooky, funny movie. Remember Dead Alive?
Yeah.
I'm ready for The Frighteners, too.
Oh, my gosh. I am so ready for The Frighteners, too. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine what it would be like if Michael J. Fox is back in the role with Chi McBride? And oh, my gosh. I can only imagine.
Is John Astin still with us? Or
I think John Astin is still with us.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Sean Astin's dad is still with us.
Yeah.
I believe
Gomez
he is.
Gomez Adams.
Yeah. So I am a huge fan of The Frighteners.
Likewise.
So I would love to see Peter Jackson attack something else. So maybe you're right. Maybe I'm the wrong guy here. Maybe you're right. It's time for him to take a break. He established the world, and he'll come back, and he'll finish this sucker strong. So, and by the way, I find it ironic that we haven't heard much about the Star Wars movie itself, Episode 7. Have you thought? Interesting enough, we hear everything else now. We've heard now. Segueing into the into another conversation, we heard now that we finally have our first standalone Star Wars movie, which is Rogue One. So that's an interesting way to go. By the way, I would never. They're shooting a movie that almost feels like a futuristic or another world Top Gun. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Is it going to be with Oscar Isaac? I mean, is that presumably...
I'm hoping Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer and Anthony Edwards.
Well, they're going to do Top Gun 2, right? I heard that's still on the table. Even though Tony Scott died, I hear they want to do it.
They still want to do Top Gun 2, and Tom Cruise is all in, by the way.
Yeah. It's going to be about Maverick versus the drones.
Right. That's right, Ice Man. I am dangerous. Man, when you can deliver a line so awesome like that, it's just like, God, I love that movie. But
I'll
anyway.
Be your wingman, buddy. No, man. No. I'll be yours.
I'll be yours. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, love that movie for so many different reasons. I will say that Rogue One does seem to be this could be another movie franchise in and of itself, because it almost seems like we're building an academy almost. The star, I don't dare I say, Starfleet Academy, but that's not what I meant. But I meant, but what I meant is that we're building the Rebel Alliance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I think that's very cool because in the Star Wars universe, we see a whole bunch of other guys that are part of the who are piloting those X-wings and those Y-wings, and we're seeing that there's a troop that they've amassed. There's an army that's behind this. So maybe it is kind of cool that we're seeing another portion of the Rebel Alliance. Maybe. I'm hoping that this opens the doors that we see a movie from the villain's perspective. Hmm. That's what I'm hoping. So Rogue One is a real deal. It's going to be the new standalone movie for the Star Wars franchise, brought to you by Disney, of course. And you brought us some interesting news about the Rogue One film in and of itself that has to deal with Tom Cruise, ironically enough.
Yeah, excuse me, Hollywood Advertiser, they pretty much broke the... Hollywood Reporter, they broke the story, which I thought was really intriguing. Apparently there is a clause in which the Mission Impossible folks, they just recently released the trailer, the poster, and basically all their marketing materials for Mission Impossible 5, which now has the tagline of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. And
I just posted on the Nerdwatch Facebook page, and there's the new teaser trailer with the poster of Tom Cruise hanging by the tips of his fingers to what looks like a rocket ship or maybe a plane. I don't know. But you're right.
I thought it was awesome. A plane.
Yeah. I think it's a plane. Whatever it is, I mean, it looks like Cruise really did it. And after Mission Impossible 2, 3, and 4, I certainly believe he did it because I love Tom Cruise, but he's nuts. And he will certainly endanger himself for our entertainment. I believe that Tom Cruise actually gripped onto the side of a plane for like 3 hours and they landed and took off and shot it again because it's Tom Cruise.
Of course it is.
But all that to say, apparently there is a clause in which Disney is not allowed to mention Star Wars Rogue One in any sort of capacity other than the upcoming Star Wars convention, because they don't want the word Rogue Nation and Rogue One to conflict in the promotional materials.
Interesting, considering the fact that I would never, ever, ever confuse Rogue Nation with Rogue One.
Yeah.
Because I've known Rogue One since I was a child. Rogue Nation I've just known about for a day and a half, maybe a day. So, yeah. So, Paramount has put a caveat on the Rogue One thing, huh?
It's odd, too, because Mission Impossible 5, as I knew a week ago, was supposed to open up against Star Wars. It was supposed to open up, like, a few weeks prior to Star Wars this December. So I think it's interesting that they got the heck out of the way of Star Wars. They're opening up months earlier. And it almost feels like just to stick it to Disney, they're going, you know what, screw you guys. You can't use the word rogue. Sorry.
Right, of course.
We'll get out of your way. Hey, listen, we're taking the word rogue.
Can we be honest? Look, format. This is true. Disney is they are the masterminds behind the Marvel cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They own the Star Wars universe, as it were. So I'm sure that Paramount, Fox, everybody else is going to be more than happy to stick it to Disney in any way they possibly can, right? Abso-freaking-lutely. So I'm not surprised at all. Speaking of Rogue, Format, are you excited about a different film? From the Star Wars universe?
I've been a huge fan of Rogue Squadron for a long time.
Great game.
Wedge is the man.
Wedge Antilles, right.
The only man to survive the trilogy who doesn't have access to the Force.
Listen, my favorite has and always will be Porkins. I love me some Porkins. For no real reason, just because I relate.
I think it's messed up that they named them Porkins.
I know. I was watching Teen Wolf the other day. Mark Holton is Chubbs. Like, oh,
yeah.
Poor guy. Poor actor.
I like the fact that Porkins can even fit in the X-Wing. All right? It gives us fat guys hope, man. I'm telling you right now. But anyway, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Porkins. But yes, you're right. Do you think Wedge Antilles will be a part of the Rogue One?
It depends on what timeline they're going with.
That's
this.
That's what I'm wondering, too.
Because I don't know if this is like concurrent with episodes 7, 8, and 9, or if this is...
That's what I'm wondering,
too. From the beginning?
You're absolutely right. Are we taking the Rogue One from the Star Wars trilogy from the 70s? And 80s, or are we taking it? Are they part of the new army or the new Rebel Alliance?
Like, is this Rogue One because he's the first?
Right, exactly. Well, the ironic thing is that do we even know if the Rebel Alliance is needed in the new trilogy? Is there even a thing as the Rebel Alliance? Who knows? Maybe not. I mean, at the end of Return of the Jedi, you know.
Well, if they're going to follow anything, you know, from the expanded universe, then yes, there's
okay.
There's a lot to the Empire that still moves. You know, sure. Even though the head is gone,
right?
You know, the cogs are still turning.
Right, because there are, like I said before on this podcast, that there are possible rogue cells of the Empire around the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible that they're sending out the Rebel Alliance and or the Rogue One squadron out to get them. It's possible, I guess.
Yeah, it's possible.
Well, listen, I'm excited for any Star Wars in that respect. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm excited to see something else other than. I'm really excited there's finally a standalone movie because this opens up the floodgates for other things. You know, there's talk that maybe we'll get a Boba Fett movie, which would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. Maybe we could rewrite a little history here.
I was just going to ask that. Do you think in this new trilogy we will ever hear the word midichlorians uttered?
I don't think so. Will Return of the Jedi?
Will certain Binks characters,
right?
Show up?
Will Boba Fett's? Would I be using the word properly when I say ignominious death? I don't. In the Sarlacc pit, will that be corrected?
Someone actually explained that using Legos.
I posted that. That would be awesome.
That
he survived.
Absolutely genius.
That was genius. That's why I had to post it on NerdWatch. It's at NerdWatch Facebook page, nerdwatch.com or NerdWatch. Facebook.com/NerdWatch. You have to see it. It's a very, very cool story, and it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
At the very end of the pit,
yep.
Let's just say that there's a bunch of Jawas who are making Sarlacc pit juice.
Yes.
It's great. It's great. It's amazing. You have to see it. And the guy built it out of Lego.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, according to this guy who built it out of Legos, Boba falls down into the pit, scampering around looking for a way out. He notices a doorway.
Right, a doorway.
And he goes through that door and finds just a factory full of Jawas making some kind of Sarlacc pit juice.
It's great.
And so he asked them, can I get out?
Can I get out?
And they're like, the door's right there. And that's the answer. That's how he survives the pit.
I would love to see a Boba Fett movie. I mean, I would love to see a Bounty Hunter series, which would be really cool.
Oh, that's always been like,
that's always been a fantasy.
Mill,
yeah. Oh yeah, that's always been the fantasy, guys. Like, I mean, IG-88.
Like,
yeah,
Bosk
like
is going to have his own series.
Bosk would be awesome. What? So I think that the world is prepared for Star Wars. There. Star Wars will always have that hype to it, regardless if George Lucas' name is attached or not. So I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Oh, speaking
what
of which, Rogue One is being directed by Gareth Edwards.
Oh, from Godzilla and Monsters fame.
Nice,
interesting.
He's got
interesting.
The chops to do that.
He does have the chops to do it.
Rian Johnson does feel like it would be a bit of a leap, just because the scale of his movies, as admirable as they are and as visionary as they are small scale.
Yep.
Whereas Gareth Edwards, it feels like he's been down this road before.
Right, right. I will say this. There's only one thing that I ask of the Star Wars universe, and I hope J.J. Abrams brings it to us. I really, really, really hope that the magic of space is captured in Star Wars, in the new Star Wars, the way it was in the new Star Trek. I love the silence of space. I really think that adds to the atmosphere of and the excitement of what happens in space. I really do. When you go out into the abyss and you hear nothing, and it's just it's disconcerting.
I don't see it happening.
You really?
I don't. Yeah.
Star Wars. The noisy. Roar of the engines, man.
Space is noisy in Star
TIE
Wars.
Fighters.
That's true.
Just screaming across the. Oh, dude. You can't have a quiet Star Wars.
The asteroids, too. I mean, it's a noise.
Yeah, exactly.
It's noisy,
it's noisy in Star Wars. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Got it. All right. Well, then that dream is
even
shot
hear,
down.
You even hear that big, gigantic worm in Empire, like, roar as they leave.
Oh, that's true. Good point. It does roar.
As they're flying out, yeah.
Yeah, there's no void in the Star Wars space.
Yeah, that is true. There is no void. You might be right. Dang-gummit. Well, listen, here's the thing. Star Wars is going to be, we haven't heard much about it ever since this whole thing about J.J. Abrams being part of the ninth episode. Nobody's been real. Everybody's been still dissecting that teaser that's come out. We haven't seen hide nor hair of Star Wars Episode 7 trailer. So my question is this. Will Disney put a trailer for Star Wars Episode 7 on Avengers Age of Ultron?
Possible.
What's the guess?
I would say so.
What's the guess?
I agree.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it would guarantee the biggest opening of the year, hands down. And there's some big movies coming out this year, too, but I'd say that's going to be the biggest opening of the year until Star Wars comes out.
All right.
If they do that.
Awesome. So we're expecting, as fans,
super
geeks of this stuff, that there will be a trailer for Star Wars Episode 7.
It's only 6 months out at that point, right?
6 months out. Can you believe that?
Isn't that great?
That is amazing to me. It is absolutely, utterly amazing.
A year from now, we'll own the DVD, the Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
You know what? It's still going to be, let's be honest, it's going to be in theaters.
We'll own the Blu-ray and the special edition release Blu-ray. the director's cut release Blu-ray.
We'll have the enhanced version of Episode 7. Right, the enhanced version with
where they put Hayden Christensen back in there.
Hayden Christensen will be in there. Right, it's the end of Jedi Hayden. Mm-hmm. Christensen, Sir Alec Guinness, and that other old guy.
And
and Yoda. Yes, hold on a second. The other old guy's not there anymore because Hayden Christensen took over for him. Oh, gosh. Go figure.
By Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah, Sebastian Shaw. Sebastian Shaw.
Have Benedict Cumberbatch.
You will be missed.
Dub the audio for the new Vader.
Right. They will. But ironically enough, apparently the Benedict Cumberbatch thing, J.J. Abrams will not deny nor confirm it.
Neither will Benedict.
Yep.
He said as well in an interview.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams said in an interview as well, something to that effect, where he doesn't want to make the same mistake he did with Star Trek Into Darkness with Benedict Cumberbatch, and how everyone knew that was Khan, but he didn't say it was Khan. It was, quote-unquote, John Harrison.
Right.
So he doesn't want to make that same mistake, and all he's going to say is no comment. So smart. Good for him.
Yeah, I know Benedict was in an interview. And they were like, oh, we heard that you went to go visit the Star Wars set. So what did you think? And it was like, oh, yeah, it was very nice. And it was like, so are you going to be in the new movie? I got nothing to say. It's like, oh, so you're not denying or you know, and he's like, So you are in the new?
That is amazing. Well, I'm not saying I'm not. I'm not saying that I am. It's not examined. Yeah. But
I do find it interesting that now that we're, you know, so close to it, that, like, all the leaks that we've gotten, like, you know, over the last couple of months have just stopped cold. Yep. Like, everything.
Yeah.
Remember before it was like, oh, my God, who's the celebrity of the week visiting the set this time?
That's true. Good point.
And now it's just nothing. There's no news at all.
Well,
nothing.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the only news that we've gotten as of late is the fact that Harrison Ford was in a plane crash and if it was going to affect his filming of the Star Wars movie. Yeah. That's what everybody cared about. Not whether he lived or died. No.
I thought the memes that came out of that were freaking hilarious.
I didn't see any.
There was one, because he crashed his plane,
right.
It was like a propeller plane,
yes.
In a golf course or something.
Right.
So the memes that popped up were like, Han Solo was in a crash, and it shows like the Millennium Falcon like half buried into the golf course. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, right. No one cares if Harrison Ford's okay. We just want to know if he's okay enough to film the rest of his scenes in Episode 7.
I know, right? All he has to do is sit in the cockpit.
That's all he has
good.
To do. Punch it, Chewie.
Right?
Punch it.
Don't get cocky, kid.
Don't get cocky. That's all he needs. Right. And he just needs to hold a gun or a
yeah, just a blaster.
Just a blaster at the side of his hip.
Yeah,
that's all he's got to do, and he's good to go.
He can lean up against the wall. There you go.
By the way,
as long as he shoots first.
Yes, that's right. You're right. And by the way, I found out why Han shot first. Can I tell you why? Because Greedo called him Handsome Solo. That's why. Remember? He called him Handsome Solo. He thought he was coming on to him, and he shot him like, what? No! That's why, I'm telling you.
So it's exactly about homophobia.
He's a bit homophobic.
He's a galactic homophobic.
Yeah. He's a galactic homophobic.
Wow.
No idea. Watch Star Wars Episode 1. He says Handsome Solo. It's what he says. It's hilarious. You son of a... but anyway. Moving on from Star Wars.
I mean, he does pay for the mess.
I guess
that makes it all right. I mean, you can hate... You can be homophobic as long as you pay for the mess. I don't know.
The galaxy's first galactic homophobe. That's hilarious. It's hilarious. Oh, man, I have a whole new thing. I have a whole new way of looking at Han Solo now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, moving on this week. Now, since we're done with our movie news, question for everybody. What's everybody been watching as of late on the tube? Anything exciting you've been watching lately? I mean, Bates Motel obviously. Anything for you, Foreman? You been watching anything that would pique someone else's interest that you wanted to recommend?
Not really. It's lately, as of late, the women have taken over the television. So I'm stuck watching things like Grey's Anatomy and Empire. Empire's actually pretty good.
Okay, can I ask you about that? Because
yeah, sure.
Empire, the television show on Fox, is one of the only shows in television history that has
black people?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Close.
I thought that's where you were going.
No, that's the second.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So it's not new. But anyway, what I'm saying is this is one of the only television shows in history that have that has essentially done better week over week. Normally, television shows, the ratings and the people that view the show actually die down every week normally.
Mm-hmm, right,
this
right.
one keeps progressing. Every week the numbers go up. As a matter of fact, it was said that Empire had its season finale had 17 million viewers. I mean, that's on par with stuff like The Walking Dead.
Mm.
So my question is this, if you've seen it,
mm-hmm.
what is the draw, number one, and number two...
Cookie. That's all I'll say.
One word.
Cookie is the draw to the... That's all you need to know.
Okay. I will say this. Terrence Howard is in it.
Yeah.
Taraji P. Henson is in it. Is it compelling viewing? Is it something that should be seen?
It is. It's actually a lot of fun. For the life of me, I don't remember the actress's name who plays Cookie.
Taraji P. Henson, right?
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. That role makes the entire show.
Wow.
That just the way it's played, the way she interacts with the other characters. A lot of the characters are family.
Right.
And there's a lot of drama that comes with that.
I've heard the soundtrack has already hit number one on the billboards.
Yeah. The soundtrack's surprisingly catchy.
Really?
Yeah.
That is amazing. I mean, I can't stand most rap music of today.
Yeah. The rap, you're not going to enjoy.
Okay. Awesome.
As someone that enjoys, you know, hip-hop, R&B, and
all the stuff I like, yes.
The rap is terrible.
Yeah, yes. Awesome. Awesome.
But the other music that's on the show is top-notch.
Okay.
Well done.
So I'm assuming there's a lot of drama, there's a lot of there's a suspense. So what do you think are people drawn to the music, or is it the performance? What is it?
I think it has to do a lot with the storyline.
Okay.
And just finding out what Cookie's going to do next.
Wow.
It's her character is that crazy.
Amazing.
That people they tune in just to find out what she's going to do.
Wow. There is so much. It's amazing to me in this day and age. This is almost like this is the golden age of television. Because it's almost as if, it's not like in the 50s and the 60s anymore where you picked one or two shows that were great. Like Twilight Zone is the pinnacle for me, always has been. Mm-hmm. It now seems like everybody has their fingers in the pie. Every network has one show that really propels television to a new level all the time. Even cable, Breaking Bad for one. Hannibal, another. Empire, like he's talking about. Things like this have really... Lost was another one of those shows. 24 was another one of those shows. Yeah. The Sopranos, which is on cable television. It seems like we're in the golden age of television where it's so compelling to watch and stay home and watch TV now that it's in straight competition with what's in the theater. Mm-hmm. And it's... I just find it so fascinating to me that... You would that people would prefer to stay in than go to the movies almost. That's, you know, it's a, maybe it's the nature of the beast. Netflix is doing it. House of Cards. It's not even a cable. It's a streaming. It's a streaming mm-hmm. application. House of Cards, Bloodline, the new Netflix Bloodline show. I don't know if anybody has seen that yet.
It's good.
I heard it's amazing. So now, thanks to format, I'm going to have to add Empire to my viewing. It didn't look compelling to me when I saw the previews for it. I was not up for watching the Bad Boys of hip hop and the whole thing about the music record
label.
The
previews and the trailers don't do it justice.
Really?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Okay. Good. I'm on board then. Empire is the way to go. Me, I mean, I've been trying to catch up with. Listen, I'm a nerd at heart, but I completely am. When it comes to television, I watch a lot of stuff, but I watch more news than anything else because I want to know current events and politics. I'm such a weird news geek. It's so amazing. But I will say this. There are a lot of things that I am watching. Walking Dead, of course, which is amazing. Better Call Saul. I don't know if you've been watching that at all.
Behind. I keep waiting for like a marathon so I can catch up on it.
This is Better Call Saul is one to keep up with. I think I've said this before, but Better Call Saul is a show that is smaller in scale, but the spirit of Breaking Bad is in there, and nice. It's good. So
I did manage to catch one episode.
Right.
And it felt like it was still in the same vein, like
doesn't
the same
it
formula.
It does. It moves. Cool. Just know that it moves a little more slow. It moves a little slow.
Yeah,
a little more methodical.
I noticed that too.
It's a little more methodical, but it really works for this show. I don't know how to explain it, but it definitely works for the show. And
yeah,
by the way,
I saw that too.
Yeah, you noticed that too. Yeah. And by the way, last but not least, bringing up another AMC show, Mad Men is in its final season as well, and that should be premiering very soon.
Yeah.
So if you're a Mad Men fan, that's coming up too. That's another show that started off this whole thing about, you know, television being the medium to watch. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of ways to be entertained. Boy, I tell you what, major television networks are having a heck of a time trying to keep up with what's out there. Because it's not always about the big and bold. It's about storytelling now is what I've noticed a lot. It's about storytelling, like Breaking Bad being one of the big ones. House of Cards, good storytelling. Empire, if you say it's true, it's probably got great storytelling and it has to be.
Definitely.
So, that's what compels us is stories. And that's what I like about it. It's not about effects. You know what I mean? Look, even like even the ones that we do like that are I guess you could call them television superhero based, The Flash and Arrow. You don't have a production, you don't have the production value to make a special effects bonanza. You have to come up with witty, interesting stories for people to follow, like
you
Agent Carter
say
does.
That. But Flash and Arrow have really kicked it up a notch.
I agree. No, I'm not denying their prowess in the special effects genre. But what I am saying is that their stories have to be more on point than say something like
like
the Transformers.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the new one with Michael Bay. That's the one I'm talking about.
Boo, Michael Bay. Boo.
Format. I got to ask you this. You've mentioned Grey's Anatomy. Are you watching recent episodes, or is it like from the beginning?
It seems like it's scattered all over the place.
Because I was hooked on that show for maybe a season or two. I watched it with my wife when it first came out. I thought it was really compelling.
Five seasons.
Okay.
For me.
Around the time Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character dies and became a ghost, that's when I'm out.
Right. Yeah. I think I was out the moment I realized how much sex is going on in the hospital that I was attending. That's not a place that I want to go exactly. It felt more like a sorority house than a hospital. And that's when I was out. And I was like, okay, this doesn't do anything for the persona of a hospital. I know that people sleep there. I get that part. People work in 24 and 48-hour shifts or whatever. Got that. Yeah, but the sex thing kind of freaks me out a little bit when, you know, you're in the hospital.
They went from McHottie to McSteamy. It was like too much.
McDreamy.
Yeah.
So now it's just, I don't even watch anymore. I've missed, what is it, like the 10th season now?
I have no idea. I was with them during the first three seasons, and then now it just, there's like a whole new troop of people in there.
Yeah, I was gonna ask,
they're mixing
like,
with the older cast. Yeah.
Is Patrick Dempsey still even on it?
Yeah, he's on there.
And Katherine Heigl's gone, right?
Katherine Heigl's gone. Yeah, she ruined her Hollywood career. McSteamy's still there. No, is it McDreamy? No, he's McDreamy.
Yeah, McDreamy.
Okay. He's McDreamy.
Is McSteamy still on the show?
No, McSteamy's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, they killed him off.
Yeah, they killed him off. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut this part of the show out of the Nerdwatch podcast.
That might be a good idea. Or maybe we just drew in more listeners.
Yeah, maybe we did.
Voting a demographic.
Yeah, but let's just safely say that I'm going to cut
this out.
Back to
news.
Yeah. Back to nerdy stuff. Like I said, we were talking about television and how we are in a golden age of TV. I think that is very ripe to talk about, considering the fact we will be talking more television here on the show too, because there's just so much, there's so much good stuff that we should be talking about as well.
Oh, speaking of which.
Yes, sir.
There's a new Netflix series called Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes! With, what is her name? I cannot remember.
She's adorable. And I can't
She's
her name.
Absolutely adorable. It was the show that
Ellie Kemper.
Ellie Kemper.
Yeah.
This is the show that NBC passed on and Netflix picked up.
Yes.
You want to know something funny? You mentioned that. My father calls me up, and he called me specifically and goes, "Hey, how you doing, son?" I said, "I'm great, Dad. What's going on?" Said, "So listen, you watching that Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt show on Netflix?" I'm like, "No, Dad, no." I "What?" Said, "No, you got to watch it. It's really funny. It gets better and better each episode." I'm like, "Okay." So, and he likes there's the Ellie Kemper's roommate.
Mm-hmm.
That, what is his name? I don't remember his name.
I forget.
He's
his
got
name.
This strange, like, it's like a Roman kind of name or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But he is, my father says he is extremely funny. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is, they say, is a great show, and Netflix was smart to pick up this show from NBC.
Cool.
It's written by Tina Fey. And it's very funny.
Co-created by Tina Fey.
Yeah, nice. She's a writer. They say that, well, essentially the story of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is that she has been kept underground with a group of other women by a cult. So the cult leaders kept them underground, essentially, telling them that the world had ended. So they didn't know that it even existed. So it's her adventures into the new world, as it were.
Yes.
So it has this Elizabeth Smart kind of. When I reference Elizabeth Smart, the one that was kidnapped. What's the name of the guy?
Titus Burgess.
That's the actor.
Oh, Titus Andromedus.
Titus Andromedus. That's it. His name is Titus Andromedus. So my dad said that he is super funny, and I should watch it. All right. So I'm glad you mentioned that. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's 23 minutes on Netflix each episode.
Yeah,
I guess you're gonna have to watch it. Yeah, they're like sitcom episodes.
Nice.
So he says it gets funnier every episode. Have you seen it at all?
I've watched half of it. My oldest has already binged the whole thing.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, she killed it all in one sitting. All
right, so we're gonna come back. We're gonna watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and we'll dish.
Absolutely.
Sure. If it's anything like the Grey's Anatomy conversation, then, oh boy, you guys are in for a treat.
All right, so this is a possible cut number two.
Do you want to go back to talking about the golden age of television?
Yeah. Star Wars, lightsabers, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo.
Right. Galactic homophobes. Vroom, 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 vroom.
Vroom, vroom, vroom. Oh man! Anyway, moving on to this week in Blu-ray and DVD releases. There's a lot of there's been a lot of streaming stuff that has come out. We've gotten Annie. We've gotten things like Exodus, Gods and Kings. Finally, we know your take on Annie, Professor Barry. Yep. But there is one movie that came out on VOD that I had a chance to see.
Annie 2.
Yes.
No?
No.
Oh,
okay. There is one film that I have been looking forward to seeing that I did not catch in the theaters, and I finally watched it on your recommendation in your review, Professor Barry. I got to see Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway in Interstellar.
Ah.
By the way, I do have a review in the queue for that one.
Wonderful.
So I am waiting on that one. My editor is taking a look at it, making corrections. So
tearing it up.
Yeah, my
tossing it out.
The editor that shall not be named here on the show.
Deleting it.
Does he eat at Hasty Lust?
Right.
Maybe doesn't everyone?
Maybe he's taking notes from it. I don't know. but I finally got to see Interstellar. Let me tell you, I called, well, I didn't call, speaking of my dad again, my dad saw Interstellar and wasn't pleased with it. Mm-hmm. He did not like it. So I had two opposing views on this, and that was yours and his. You love it. You absolutely love it. Now, after seeing it, I have to say that I am somewhere in the middle, because I am. It's ironic. Interstellar is, for all intents and purposes, is one of the most beautifully shot films I have seen in a long time. Not just the space stuff. Not just space, but when they're in on Earth, and you see those cornfields, and you see the majestic cinematography, it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. The dust storm it's amazingly just beautiful to see and to look at it. Christopher Nolan should be commended for how this movie looks. It is quite amazing. He's crafted an amazing story that does belabor getting to... You felt it was quick. I didn't. I felt we were belaboring to a point. I'm looking at it to where I think that they could have easily cut out 20 to 30 minutes and we would have been at a faster pace. And I think it would have been up for a Best Picture Oscar, in my opinion. Interstellar for me, Matthew McConaughey gave an amazing performance. I thought he was very good. I was underwhelmed by Anne Hathaway. Her performance. It was very weird how they were named, too, by the way. Everybody had, like, one name. Matthew McConaughey was Cooper.
Yeah.
Brand was Anne Hathaway. That was her name. But that's her last name. We don't know her first name. We don't know nothing. I will say that the visits to space and the cameo were great. The visits to that space, to the planets, the different planets.
Yeah.
The talk of actual science and in the sci-fi genre was very plausible. It seemed logical from a layman who doesn't know much. It seemed rather logical coming out of the mouths of the actors, as it were. It worked for me. This movie is absolutely beautiful. It is extremely suspenseful. The only but for this film is the fact that I thought it was a little too long. I don't think there was anything wrong with it. Michael Caine was great in it. William Devane is in it, and he's not selling me gold.
How is that in the middle?
Let me tell you why.
That's like singing praises.
Oh no, no, no!
It's a little long.
No, because I think what was missing here was, I felt John Lithgow was. Unfortunately for his character, was underused. I really wanted to see more from John Lithgow. am I ruining it if I say Casey Affleck is in it? I really wanted to see more from Casey Affleck. Yeah, I know, right? Jessica Chastain, who I think is an amazing actress, is great in it for what she is. She brings something to the role. There is this theme, and I'm not ruining it, there is this theme about love conquering all. I like that theme. I really do. But in the space of this kind of genre, I don't know if it works. I think that was the other problem I had with it. So I would have to say that I would give it, for me, I would have to give it a 4-star review. I would have to dock it a whole star for those very reasons. But other than that, it's a beautiful film. I will say that I loved the comic relief of the robots, as it were,
yeah.
or the AI. It really brought something to the somber mood of the film.
Yeah.
But Interstellar should definitely be experienced by everyone once, at least once. I want to watch it again. There's no doubt about it. I want to see it again to maybe appreciate it more. I will say there was one other thing in the film that I would dock it a star for is I thought the fight between Matthew McConaughey and the cameo from the gentleman that shall not be named, I thought was a little hokey. I didn't really...
Guys in spacesuits are never going to tell you an interesting fight.
Right. They could have done something more intelligent with it, I thought. And I just really was like, I just felt that really took me out of it. But the way they end the film and the way they wrap up like all of your questions is amazing.
Yeah.
And you're really like going, oh yeah, that's what it was. This is what it was. That makes sense. So that was really fascinating to me. And when one of the most touching parts of that film for me was at the end when Matthew McConaughey is at the bedside of a wonderful actress who did a very good job. And I will not reveal what it is because that would ruin it for everybody. But let me just say that that was extremely touching and just was so what I was not expecting. And it was really moving. And it's like what they say when he says in space about, you know, never, you as a parent, you never want to see your children die. Yes. And there was just a turn to that, and it really a fascinating turn, and it was a very touching moment. And Matthew McConaughey was brilliant in that scene, brilliant, because I believed every single second of that, you know, in that moment. So for those reasons, I say that Interstellar is an amazing film. Read my review; it should be up shortly, as soon as I get it back from my editor. I'll post it up on NerdWatch, the Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. So if I have a pick of the week for new to video, it is Interstellar, for sure. You loved it. Do you see what you're saying?
I saw the film twice, and the second time I saw it, I took my father to see it, and my dad loved it. But the thing we did talk about, like, it is a long film. I don't know, and this is my way of addressing that, but also excusing that. I don't know what I'd cut, because the one part of the film that I didn't care for, not because it's bad, but I didn't like it as much as the rest. I didn't like the surprise celebrity guest appearance, that whole long sequence that leads up to the fight scene. But you can't lose that from the film. It's essential to the story. So, like, as much as I agree with it, it is a long film, I don't know what I'd cut. I can't think of anything that would go.
You know, I have to watch it again, because I will. But you are right about that. I think that the themes in the film are fantastic. The fact that they're willing to broach the theory of relativity and things of that nature were amazing. So I would say, for my taste, it's something that should be seen. Format, are you interested at all in Interstellar, sir?
No. I've seen enough Lincoln Continental commercials to know that...
Are you disparaging the good name of Matthew McConaughey?
You know, it's a little different than the Lincoln Continental commercials.
I guess. It just seems, you know, he's kind of spacey in the commercials and kind of carries into the role I'm imagining.
It does a little bit.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
and there's no you know, surprise co-stars or anything, you know.
But listen,
these commercials. So that's kind of a you know, a down point for me.
There is that charm of the country twang.
I guess so.
Yeah. You know, you want to be buddies with that guy.
I don't know about buddies.
Plus, his name is Cooper in the movie. I mean, who would love to have a friend called Cooper?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Coop? You know?
Yeah. Well, wasn't that like a teacher dude?
Hang on, Mr. Cooper! Yeah.
In Oakland.
He took it from Mark Curry. Yeah, that's right. Wow.
See? See, nothing original.
Stealing everything from the black man. Yeah. That's crazy, right? That's crazy.
Lincoln Continental. Stealing names.
Oh, man, I tell
you. Next thing you know, he's just
taking it all.
Yeah.
Mark Curry's listening to this right now going, they remember.
They remember.
They remember my show.
Right? My show. Exactly. Oh, man.
Anyways, that was for you, Mark.
Yeah. We love you, Mark Curry, wherever you are. So, anyway, that's my pick of the week. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, because it's just about time for us to get out of here. Next week, we'll be talking more movies. Also, next week, we will be... There's no real movies coming out next week. Are you going to be watching anything?
Get Hard and Home. I'll probably see Get Hard.
Okay.
Get Hard looks fun.
And It Follows is going to have a wide opening.
Really?
They're actually going to release it on 1,200 screens.
It Follows looks like an amazing horror film. I am very intrigued with It Follows. I'm not going to go into it now. Look up It Follows on RottenTomatoes.com. That's where Barry Worst is Mr. Critic. You can check him out there. It Follows looks... It's been getting a lot of high praise.
It's been critically acclaimed. It was supposed to just do a straight VOD release. apparently the box office and limited release has been so gigantic, word of mouth has been so good, and this thing has just been spreading like a wildstorm, that the studio, even though it's a little independent studio, Radius, they're releasing it on 1,200 screens this Friday. It's unprecedented.
Wow, nice.
Amazing. I cannot wait to see this film.
Get to see it.
Hope. Well, let's hope. We live in Maui.
Oahu will get it.
But yeah, I'm sure they will.
Oahu will get it.
The California of the islands will get it for sure. But I'm excited to see it. Well, I'm never watching Get Hard. First of all, I take umbrage with the name, number one. And number two, it looks terrible. It looks terrible. So good luck with that. Let me know how it is. I may watch it on your recommendation.
We'll see.
But
I don't know if it's going to be good.
The week after that is of even more importance. The week after that is the first summer movie of the season. So before I go, I'd let you guys know something. I have procured 4 tickets for the 4 of us to go see.
There's 4 of us exactly. 4 tickets? That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? I have procured 4 tickets for everyone sitting at this table, minus Amber, of course, but she gets one too.
Here? I can never tell when she is here. She's just so small.
I wanted to let you guys know that I've got tickets in my hand for the 4 of us to go see it at 7 o'clock.
In the morning?
On Thursday.
Oh, P.M. So, okay, gotcha.
7 p.m., right.
So, late in the morning?
So don't worry. We're going to go watch this. As a matter of fact, as soon as it's over, we'll do a podcast after Furious 7, a little review podcast. Me and
In the fountain?
No, we'll do it like there on the air. We've done it before. We did like a little 15-minute pod to get your immediate reactions of what the film was like. So,
15 minutes of us just going, it was amazing.
It was awesome. Did you see The Rock come out of that plane? And that's what I'm assuming that the next pod's going to be like.
But it was too long, lack Mark Curry.
Right, it could be. That's what
we had to hang with The Rock. We couldn't hang with Mr. Cooper. That was kind of messed up.
That's great. So next week, Professor Barry will talk about Get Hard, the new Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart vehicle. Not a fan of Kevin Hart, I have to say. I'm sorry.
A little overexposed.
Yeah, definitely overexposed. He's kind of like the Seth Rogen of comedy at this point. Another overexposed
Canadian.
that's all you, sir. But I'm sure there'll be more news for us to talk about next week. Hopefully, Amber, aka Digit, will be back. Anything else you want us to go to? You want us to read your Hollywood in Toto article? Anything else on the docket for you?
My looking back this week, my column will be writing about Constantine with Keanu Reeves. So we'll be talking about that film as well as...
Underrated gem, in my opinion.
I agree. I like it better the second time I saw it.
Yeah.
And a very underrated film, I think one of the most important animated movies ever made. It's the only film ever made entirely in claymation. That is Will Vinton's The Adventures of Mark Twain. Came out in 1985.
1985.
Great film. It's finally gotten a DVD and Blu-ray release, so people will be able to see it. I think it's on Netflix. It is a magnificent film. Not enough people know about it. If you're an animation fan, you need to see this film.
Fantastic. What about you, Foreman? Anything else you got coming up that you're going to be posting to Facebook.com/ The Nerd Watch?
I've got a number of reviews that have just come back from my editor. And I need to post those as soon as I get a chance.
Is he as obtuse with you as he is with me?
Obtuse?
Yeah. Is he as efficient with you as he is with you?
I would say so, yes. He's efficient.
Very good. Good answer.
Maybe I should use yours then.
Maybe. I'll send you his information.
All right, give me his info. I'll see. See if I can get this guy going.
But I also watched Rurouni Kenshin. Which is it's a samurai movie,
right?
Based off an anime and a manga series. So
they made a live action movie of it.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's quite interesting, and I didn't realize it, but there's actually 3 movies that were all released at the same time, apparently.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Where can we find these? Where can we procure these?
Well, you gotta go to Japan. that's the only drawback.
But see, when you get off the plane in Japan, don't like ninjas attack and there's Godzilla like in Tokyo.
Yeah, but
there's this whole thing you got to do to get those.
But that happens only on Tuesdays.
Oh, Tuesdays.
So if you get there on off days, you can get to the shop.
Drift if I want to drive anywhere.
Right.
Well, it's better if someone drives you.
Oh, okay.
Like catch a cab, everybody drifts there.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So where can we see these if we can't go to Japan?
Well, you can. There is actually a tokusatsu site that I go to frequently called TV Nihon. And
Nihon,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
And TV Nihon, they have like every Kamen Rider in existence, every Super Sentai show. You know, if you're a big fan of the Power Rangers in America, go watch these shows. They're way better.
Yep.
The action is better. They're more adult themed.
And they're kid shows still.
Yeah, and they're still kid shows.
Yep.
But that's where you can download it, and it's all free.
Right. So Kamen Rider, V3, which is, of course, you grew up with that as well, Professor Barry. You used to watch Kiku, I'm assuming, when you were Kamen Rider, and then all those other
Kikaider
guys. Kikaider. And yeah. So,
do you guys remember an animated show from Japan called Leo the Lion?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Watch that.
Yes, I used to watch that. Not a fan. I was.
How about Flying House?
I never watched Flying House.
I remember seeing commercials for it, but I never saw the show.
I
had it on Nickelodeon at some point.
It's crazy stuff. So TV Nihon, I can check it out there. And what's it called one more time?
Rurouni Kenshin.
Rurouni Kenshin.
The American audience probably knows it under the title Samurai X.
Samurai X. Yes, Samurai X. Yes. All right, cool. Well, for me, I would say that I'm going to try and catch up with more of those quirky television shows I wanted to, like Bates Motel. I have to catch up with Walking Dead, by the way. That's why I haven't been talking much about it. I haven't had a chance to sit down. I'm behind like 3 episodes. So
on the last episode,
I tell you, stop it. And now that I have to add Empire to the queue, I tell you, it's gonna be heck.
So no podcast next week, then.
No podcast.
You're gonna have to watch all these shows.
The pod is happening. NerdWatch Pod happens. I gotta get it out there. But by the way, Professor Barry, I'm going to leave these in your hands because I will definitely lose them.
Okay, thanks.
Okay? Be careful. They were kind of ripped. They were ripped by accident, so just be careful. But hold on to them. Do not lose them.
I will not.
All right. If you lose them, we're not going, and then we can blame you later.
If Bud gets a hold of my wallet, he will steal these.
I know. So leave them right in there. It's for the Nerd Watch. I leave it to you because you are the movie professor.
Oh, thank you. Looking forward to that.
All right. Fantastic. So am I. All right, guys. We are out of time. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, Amber will be joining us. She couldn't make it. Have a wonderful week, boys and girls. Check us out at facebook.com/thenerdwatch. Look at all of our reviews at MauiWatch.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at NerdWatchNation. That's where you can visit us as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, until then, we are your podcast, a nerdy podcast in the middle of the Pacific. The wonderful island of Maui is where we come from. So, without further ado, we would like to wish all of you a wonderful week and a big aloha!